You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what the Chris Spangle Show is about. Get it at wearelibertarians.com or on iTunes. Welcome to this special episode of, I don't know, what are we going to call this? Have we decided a name? Are we going to call it?
Two Guys, One Mic?
Two Guys, One Mic. That's what we'll call it. We can't get better than that.
That's fitting for this.
We are sharing a mic like Richie Sambora and what's the other dude? Richie Sambora is not even the famous one. It's Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah. So welcome to Two Guys, One Mic. This is Chris Spangle and Greg Lenz, as you know, and this is the first edition of the Two Guys, One Mic show. And thank you to you who are paying subscribers for this episode, is what I will say here. We're giving this away for free. This is just your little taste.
We're drug dealers. Right. Yeah, we're creating demand.
We're just giving you a little taste. Mm-hmm. Just try one. And give $5 a month. That's it. Just start there, you know. $5. The half of Netflix.
$1,000 a month gets you a weekend stay in the house Casa de Spangle.
We're giving you like 7 hours a week on the We Are Libertarians Network of great original content. That's way better than Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
So, damn it. TwoGuysOneMic.com is taken. That's okay.
That's all right. We'll figure it out. We're testing it.
It's a test.
Yeah, because technically that's a lie, too, because we have multiple mics.
Right. Thank you, Maya, for
checking that.
Somehow Maya was the one that figured out Two Guys, One Mic was taken. Can't even imagine. By the way, Two Guys, One Fish, change your life. If you work in the kind of work environment that I do and your coworker goes to the bathroom for number two, make sure they come back to either Two Guys, One Fish or meatspin.com. So,
well, this is our first go-round. So yeah. I kind of imagine this as like a Seth Meyers weekend update of sorts for libertarian perspective of news and events with some comedy.
Only not as gay.
Yeah, we're more alpha.
Yeah.
We're way more alpha.
Way more alpha. We say things like gay, like men. We put down the LGBT community like assholes.
I saw the best meme.
I'm sorry.
Overheard LGBT. I don't even like tomato. Someone thought it was BLT.
All right. So maybe we're not as quick as Seth Meyers. So this past weekend.
I'll let you lead with the news story that you're most triggered by. You made several Facebook statuses that would have Rob Kendall up in arms today.
Listen, I'm not triggered by it. I just think it's stunning. The Associated Press came out today. Corey Lewandowski got fired today.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the campaign manager that ran, you know, the Trump campaign up until it looked like Trump was serious and there was going to be a floor fight. And so they brought in
Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort.
Former partner of Roger Stone back in the golden era.
And Roger Stone, obviously a libertarian guy who helped Gary Johnson on his 2012 campaign, now helping Donald Trump. Roger is known for his dirty tricks. Roger is one of the Willie Horton ad guys. I mean,
man has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back.
Yeah, he is quite the dandy. He is an interesting fellow.
I love Roger, but you either love him or my God, do you hate him?
If I hated him, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. there's some apocryphal things that have happened in his time in the Libertarian Party, which I will not speak about because I'm not going to get in trouble. Yeah, Roger is helping with his campaign, and Corey Lewandowski and Manafort have been at odds at times.
Well, one's the ultimate country club Republican,
right,
who has gone and helped political campaigns internationally. I mean, and then the other one is the guy that's the untested Brooklyn brawler.
He looks like he crawled out of the Beech Grove Walmart on a Friday night after a meth bend.
He got a crew cut, and my God, the guy is, right, he's the Republican Rahm Emanuel.
I was thinking Himmler, but okay.
No,
Corey Lewandowski is the one who allegedly assaulted Michelle Fields.
Charges were dropped.
He just seems like a scumbag to me. I mean, I'm gonna.
He's that Roger Stone school of political act or political operative.
Yeah. So Lewandowski is out, and as they were discussing it, the AP reported that Donald Trump has his campaign estimates that he has 30 campaign employees across the nation. Now, let me give you a comparison. Gary Johnson probably has that many on the payroll, at least.
Well, maybe not payroll.
I mean, in terms of like state directors, there's always a state director for any campaign, and Gary has as many state directors as the other two, I'm sure.
It's just the regional directors have been paid thus far.
But in terms of paid staff, I'm sure Gary is far closer to Trump than he is Hillary.
Yes.
Who's around 500.
Oh, she's got 30 in a, you know, hell, the Hendricks County office in Indiana.
Yeah, Bernie has around 200, and he's still running, you know, so... It just is stunning to me that the front runner and someone who, oh, well, he won the primary. It's like, yeah, but, Ted Cruz had 40, and Hillary has 500. And so at this point you're running against not Ted Cruz, but Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton has the Obama machine plus the Clinton machine plus the DNC plus
voter database,
you know, and at the end of the day, the Democrats are going to unite around Hillary and fight against Trump, and Trump is in a divided party, and you're just not going to, you know, so his plan is to get the Republican Party, the RNC, the state parties, the county parties, the local activists to go out and stump for him and be his campaign team. You know, our friend Jason Pye down in Georgia just resigned because he said flat out, I will not vote for him. He's one of the PR guys for, I think he's a PR guy, but he works for FreedomWorks. So it's stunning to me that a Republican candidate in nearly July only has 30 employees and has such an anemic, baffling campaign plan. Because you can say, yeah, I'm going to rely on the RNC. They're going to run the day to day. I'm going to rely on the state and local parties. But if you've ever been involved in politics at the local level, it's people like you and me who just, you know, people like you, I have 10 years of political experience and ran a statewide political party, but you know, Greg, you've never really been involved in grassroots organizing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the grassroots organization of like a small organization at all.
So you can't troubleshoot when stuff happens. You haven't created a walking list. You haven't done these basic things that
the canvassing aspects, organizing.
Whereas somebody like Podesta and some of these Hillary Clinton people have done it for damn near 40 years. And these 500 employees, these people go out and they organize for a living. That's what they do. They're professional campaign hacks, and
they get out the vote.
Yeah, and so our friend Rob Kendall, the ultimate Trump apologist, said, "Oh well, you just should see these people. These people are crazy about Trump. They know." It's like, yeah, but they don't have experience, and they're doing it as volunteers. And volunteers are never going to be as adept or as involved as paid staffers in organizing people. I'm just making sure that I hit start over here. Okay, good. You know, so it grassroots really are what win campaigns. And so when you're talking 500, 600 to 30, and you don't even have an accurate number, you tell the AP, I think it's around, you know, and you're firing your main campaign guy.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't look good for Trump at all.
No, I mean, this is the crisis point of his campaign thus far. The difference between Manafort and Lewandowski, simply comes down to Lewandowski let Trump be Trump, and he did what he could from an organizational aspect, got people in line, you know, prevented, like, you know, he's the kind of guy that would revoke the Washington Post press credentials.
Right.
Whereas Manafort is the ultimate system guy. He's the guy that's going to come in, he's going to broker he's going to facilitate the Paul Ryan, you know, interactions, he's going to facilitate the interactions with the RNC. And so I do think this, and shockingly, yes, it's a big sap, or it really zaps momentum right now. But luckily, we're at a point in the election cycle, if you're on a Team Trump, where there's plenty of time to recover.
Sure.
There's plenty of time to get the RNC behind them, because they've actually been building out the apparatus regardless of working with Team Trump, because there isn't really a Team Trump.
Right.
You know, it's a media team and a messaging team, and that's it. The one thing I do think that is overestimated is this is the press have piled on because they've been waiting for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could not wait to seize on this and be like, it's total disarray. This is the absolute end. The reality is Donald Trump's, there is no case, you know, there's no case study for it.
Right.
There's no way to say that, well, if this is the case, if this were the case with Mitt Romney, the campaign would be over.
Right.
Donald Trump, I believe, right now is trying to, you know, he's only been a politician now for a year.
Sure.
He's learning, getting up to speed. And the one thing I think this is a positive is this is a sign that he is willing to learn. By getting Manafort on, like, because he could have just, if it were Donald Trump, he would have continued doing what Lou Andraski would have told him.
Right.
By doing this.
See, I don't think anybody tells Donald Trump.
He would have kept a yes boy around.
Right. And he didn't.
He was willing to change direction because he saw what Manafort was able to pull off with the delegates, where he surpassed the delegate totals that anyone projected and guaranteed him the nominations,
right,
assuming there's no, you know, really odd situation where delegates don't vote for him. But I actually think it's a positive sign because right now, I don't think anything's happened in the election that is going to determine the election. I think, I hate to say it, but I think we're realistically looking at another lone wolf-style attack, media attack. Hmm. And I think Donald Trump got hit hard on this one, but I think if there's another type of like attack with a gunman or something like that, it will change the tide. Because with San Bernardino and then his response this time really hurt him, if he gets another time and he comes down, like, for instance, today, the Department of Justice and Loretta Lynn were on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd Sunday.
Loretta Lynch.
Loretta Lynch. And they redacted all references to his declarations to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and then the Islamic State. They censored those out.
Really?
The reason why is that, and this is actually pretty common in foreign policy circles, is that by referring to it and promoting it in the press, it spreads the propaganda machine for them and helps them recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Versus competing against like Jabhat al-Nusra in Syria or competing against Al-Qaeda.
Right.
And so the response by the right-wing press is they refuse to call it Islamic radicalism.
Sure.
When the reality is the president's response to it was actually correct, is that it does us no benefit by whether we call it Islamic radicalism, we call it jihadism, or we call it whatever. You know, at the end of the day, anything that helps their cause, we need to not do.
Yeah.
And so, but the right wing was able to seize on this, and now this is the main story. And stories like this about the president being an apologist for Islam, radical Islam, is something that could get picked up depending upon another attack.
Yeah, but Trump tweeting out that, you know, the president is a secret Muslim, and I mean, that does nothing to help him.
No, that's what I mean. He has to learn his way through it, but assuming that another attack were to happen, and he did it right.
Sure.
I think the American electorate is just upset.
Sure.
They're upset about the choices they have. They're upset about...
Well, we've had a president that has learned on the job. Do we want another one?
Right. But no one can do that job.
Sure.
I don't know who can do that. The job now is... The size of the bureaucracy is impossible to manage.
Right.
You know, I mean, I feel like the bureaucracy runs itself and the president gets lucky when he gets on a winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. I think Donald Trump... I don't see it as like a nail in the coffin. I see it as a necessary wake-up call that's early enough on. He has a chance to come out of this. And really, if anyone's going to hang themselves, it's going to be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. She's a terrible candidate.
In every way.
Flat out. I mean, socialism, if you remember 8 years ago when Barack Obama, it's like if you called him a socialist, people were like, that's a dirty word, don't call him that. You know, and people were losing.
Now they're voting for Bernie.
Right. And now they're voting for a 74-year-old socialist.
From the whitest state in the country.
You know, because who is arguably not going to live through his term just because they hate Hillary so much. And that's her party.
He's just
not even in the party.
She's like, you could not draw up a less sincere or authentic candidate with a big... Even if it's not true, her sense of entitlement just comes across in every interaction in every way.
She's Gollum.
She's Gollum.
It's my trash.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to hate her necessarily because you're like, yes, it's historic. It's the first female nominee of the Democratic Party and has, you know, probably the front runner to be the president. But, God, you just can't even. You know? You just can't even swallow it. But
that's been part of the problem, I think.
That's unfortunately.
She just can't even swallow it. I'm sorry, that was misogynistic.
Hashtag blue dress probs.
I'm out of control today. I need to go to PC camp.
You're not, oh God.
Please, teach me to not trigger.
No, I mean, those are really the two main news stories over the weekend. I just thought it was, you had been silent on Trump for a while.
Oh, yeah, because it doesn't matter at this point.
But then today.
I just was pointing out that I was putting on my my hat of political commentator and political experienced person. You can't win a national presidential race with 30 paid staffers. And even if, so let's say, you know, you could if Hillary had 45, but Hillary's got 500. And paid staff make a difference, because paid staff, like, think if you're a libertarian, think about your Libertarian Party. You know, here in the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I was the paid executive director. I spent full, you know, I worked for 4 years doing full-time work. There's my awards, bitches, you know, for outstanding volunteer service to the Libertarian Party, even though it wasn't technically volunteer. Basically, trust me, I worked for $6 an hour as a volunteer. And then the
indentured servitude.
And then the last 4 years, they haven't had an executive director. And think about how anemic the local party has been. Now, they've fought their way through and risen to the moment here in 2016 without paid staff in the local Libertarian Party. But, you know, think about all that the National Libertarian Party does for you, local affiliate. You know, those are paid staffers that do things. And so to say that a volunteer army, unlike any other, is going to get the job done is just not realistic, because who's going to design the materials? Who's going to design the materials, print the materials, source the materials, distribute the materials, organize it to be distributed? Who's going to put the plan together to distribute it? Who's going to train the volunteers to go out and distribute the literature? You know, these are very fundamental things that are very difficult and very complicated and very, you know, you're talking about moving an army of volunteers, giving them the resources to fight that war and execute your plan perfectly. And you can't rely on paid staff. And let me be frank, if the state directors and the local campaign coordinators per district in other states are of the same quality that they were here, the people that were on stage, some of the people that were up on stage at that Trump rally we went to are jokes. You know, there's one guy who lost his primary to Andy Horning, who had been the most famous Libertarian Party person. He lost by, you know, 40%.
Yeah.
In a primary. He couldn't beat the Libertarian Party guy in a Republican primary.
Who's now
running the 7th District.
District 8 against Larry Bouchon.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Yeah, but
I'm the treasurer for his
webmaster. Yeah.
I guess.
So I just look at that and I go, that is not good. You know, that is Hillary, unless it's great for Gary Johnson, because Trump will be ineffective. Trump will get a lot of media, but Trump will get a lot of bad media. And so what that does is that gives Gary Johnson an opportunity to be the rational option. And then if Libertarian Party people can rise to the occasion and Gary Johnson can get enough funding to get paid staff and to not have the same organizational grassroots problems that Trump's going to have, then that's a real opportunity for Gary Johnson to be the alternative. Hillary, but neither of them are going to match Hillary at this point. Maybe Trump can onboard enough people to do it, but we're in July.
Right.
We're getting ready to go to the convention. The convention sucks up a ton of resources, and then you're in August. And
August are kind of dead days.
August is dead days.
I feel like we're kind of in dead days because it's been so intense.
August is, yeah, absolutely. And then August is going to be debate prep. You're going to start getting into debates. And then September, you got to roll. September is, man, if you're running a campaign, what you have to do in your local race, as I've explained, is if you're a local candidate, you need to knock on doors 3 times. You should have already knocked on every door in your district by now. And then you need to do it twice from September until the week before Election Day.
Right.
And then if you can, then a third time. So think about the amount of people in your district that it takes to knock on a door 4 times, because you're just not, because it's a law of averages. You got to knock, knock, knock. So I think he's at an incredible disadvantage, which I'm happy about, because he's an absolute insane person that should never be anywhere near the presidency. But then again, so is Hillary, so it doesn't make me feel any better.
No, I mean, I see it a little bit differently just because I think it's, there is no traditional playbook to go by, but the Republican convention is going to tell us everything.
Sure.
If there is a big healing moment and Manafort can broker a, you know, a unity, everybody get on the same page or some type of the same page around messaging and around getting Trump to become less incendiary when he misses, you know, which is tough to do, but it's a good sign that he's trusting Manafort. I think there's a possibility that he can get something around 250 to 300 paid staffers nationally. And then Donald Trump's a little different because of the universal brand ID.
Yeah.
That really is worth its weight in gold for a candidate that's from outside. I mean,
yeah,
people like Donald Trump. They buy on Trump and his policy. It's shown time and time again. They don't even know his policies. They don't understand him. And so that is a built-in benefit to Donald Trump. But I don't know how much it is worth. I just know that it is there, and that's not the case for many candidates that have ever run.
These two candidates have darn near 100% name ID, and they're...
And that's usually not the case.
Right, and their negatives are off the charts.
There's never been any race like this.
Right.
And no one's ever campaigned like Donald Trump.
Sure.
Hillary Clinton is the one person that he can stand up there and say, yeah, I bought you.
Yeah.
You didn't do a good job.
Well, we're going to see if... because the thing about Trump is that Trump has... taken the traditional projections of people like me who have played by the rules their entire life, have studied the rules, have applied the rules. We're going to see if his meta media campaign can take on the best grassroots organization that has ever been devised.
And I think this is a sign, though, that he's going to do both. He's way behind.
Yeah.
I mean, he is way behind, but I think getting Lewandowski out is a step that they're going to run a ground campaign. They just, this happened today.
Right.
And we'll see how quickly they can assimilate one.
Right. When you've got a toxic person, like I think Lewandowski probably was.
Oh, he burned every bridge they had.
And, you know, there's still going to be people loyal to that guy. You've got divisiveness. And then, you know, you got to clean house. You got to start over. You've got to go into every phase of a presidential cycle completely united as a campaign. It is. See, the camaraderie and brotherhood of working on a campaign is similar to what you would see in Band of Brothers,
right?
Or Saving Private Ryan. It's certainly. I guess you could argue it's a serious, but you know, it's all about killing people if you get elected. But you know, if it's the same camaraderie, and if you've got a toxic individual in your organization, you gotta get rid of him.
You do, and he was preventing any chance. If he had kept Corey and Corey had been the lead on this, the election was over.
It's why I had to fire Galt.
Yeah.
I was dear leader and Galt was undermining my authority and he had to go.
He had to go. He had to go back.
It's why Maya had to go. Maya had to go back.
And luckily that you're magnanimous and generous and thorough and allow them to come back in. But
dear leader gives and he gives and he gives until he has nothing to give left. And then he resents and is angry at forgiving.
And then goes back to the well for a second helping.
Right. And then after he learns his lesson the second time, he does it a third and then all the way up until he never learns again.
Well, I think that kind of covers those two.
All right. What do we got next?
The only thing, last thing, and this was quick, was the most, no one's talking about the Brexit. I've yet to see a libertarian talk about the Brexit. And this is something that in international finance would have reverberations all the way through the U.S. economy.
Explain what the Brexit is.
So it is Britain having a national referendum to leave the European Union.
Okay. I think I'm in favor of that, and I know nothing.
Well, okay, right. So
I know nothing about it. I'm in favor.
Britain leaving, it'd be like when Greece tried to leave, and then everyone tried to keep them to stay in, and they just keep them to giving money over and over.
Right, but Greece is a scumbag country, and Britain is
a black
Britain.
Britain's got their own currency already, the pound.
Right.
And so they actually lose a lot. Like, you know what Trump talks about, the remittances where illegal immigrants come here and then send the money back to Mexico?
Sure.
So they actually have that problem because they have that legislated in. And so since they are a colonial, you know, the colonial empire.
Finish that country.
Country.
Yeah. Since they're a country colonial.
Yeah. Sorry.
You forgot your re.
Yeah. The re. The T-R-Y.
The re is very
important.
The tree is very, very important.
But so they have this problem where their money is made. So like a person comes to Britain, makes the money, and then sends it back to the Cayman Islands.
Right.
Money's not spent locally. And so that's part of the European Union. Another thing is the welfare payments to people that are coming in for the first time from these countries. They come in, they're immediately eligible, and it is a tax burden until they are able to get off of the welfare system.
Sure.
Another thing too is that, you know, they want people to adopt the euro, where having the pound gives them the ability to exit at any time. It's their escape hatch.
Right.
And then lastly, it is, it gives them the sovereignty to be their own country and not be bound by a European Union, which was originally created just to keep the Germans and the French from going to war. You know, the Germans and the French historically, they love to go to war, and they thought by intertwining the economies in the long run, they could have a single currency. It would have people be, you know, conduct trade together, keep the economies relatively normalized. But what's happened over time is that when, like, let's say Germany has a real, they have an economic advantage and France doesn't, you end up having a deficit like the United States does with China.
Right.
Well, in Germany, if they had their own currency, or if France had their own currency, they could print more money, make their exports more attractive, and then get up, climb up to the level with Germany so they'd be balanced out.
Right.
When you don't have that as an option, the only option in economies that are bound together is labor mobility. The problem is people can't go from France to Germany to where the jobs are, where the growth is within the EU.
Why is that?
Because they haven't negotiated that. Okay. They haven't negotiated citizenship within the framework of the European Union.
Right. So monetarily they're connected, but in terms of citizenship and work visas, they're not.
And so then you end up having these huge imbalances like you do in Greece, where the countries that are perpetually at the bottom because they don't have the tools to devalue their exports in order to become competitive. And they don't have the labor mobility for the people that live in France to go get jobs in Germany to balance it out. And so it's just created this odd situation where Britain has maintained the ability to leave. And on June 23rd, we're going to figure out if Britain is leaving the European Union, which will signal the decline of the entire thing.
So today's the 20th. Yep. So in 3 days.
In 3 days, we'll, there's going to be a national referendum.
Okay.
Which will be fascinating.
Yeah. I know that the libertarianish wing has always been against the EU.
Yep.
I think people like Friedman and Rothbard or, you know, libertarian economists always wrote against the EU and said that it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And every libertarian person like Ian Gerald that I follow over in England, they are very much in favor of leaving it because, you know, while as libertarians, you know, joking tablecloth aside, we're not nationalists, and so we're not regionalists. You know, like we're not globalists, we're not regionalists, we're not nationalists. We're individualists. So we want to fight for the rights of the individual. And the more we bind ourselves into these meta structures of national, you know, federated governments,
it just leads to more and more clashes, which results in war.
Right. And it's all the meddling in the economy. It's putting a dike in the dam.
And it's like
a dike in the river.
It's like what happened with NAFTA. Right. Is by intertwining the economies, you had the rapid abandonment of blue collar workers or, you know, blue collar jobs in the United States.
Which is why we need to build the wall.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, with Hillary Clinton being so influential in drafting the TPP, which is the new NAFTA, with all the Pacific and Asian countries, that is going to be an issue. I have a feeling that is, people aren't talking about it, but the blue-collar union labor worker is going to vote for Donald Trump because Bernie Sanders isn't on the ticket. Because if it had been Sanders, this election's over.
Right.
Because it's Hillary and she helped author it, and now she helped author it, but she said she's against it.
Yeah, that goes around. That happens.
And so
it's the old Rubio argument. I helped offer it, but then they changed it.
Right.
There was one clause,
and now I'm just so against that clause. You know, and so it's going to be interesting to see because that's 12% of the Democratic voter base.
Hmm.
And if you lose that 12%, Hillary Clinton loses Pennsylvania, she loses Ohio, she almost loses Wisconsin, and she loses Virginia. And so that, as long as Trump carries Florida, that's the election.
See, like in 2012... You knew that Obama was going to get reelected.
Oh, yeah.
2008,
first debate, there was some hope because Mitt Romney, like, became this person no one had ever seen before and just hammered away on the president. And he was like, who is this man that's so energetic?
2008, you kind of suspected that Barack Obama was probably going to win.
Oh.
Yeah. And then
when it was Sarah Palin, the election was over.
Right. 2000, 2004, nobody knew either one. Although I kind of always thought Bush would get reelected, but I was a diehard Republican. This man, there is no telling what's going to happen whatsoever. And the Gary Johnson factor is legitimate.
See, I am hesitant on that. and it's not because I have any lack of enthusiasm for Gary. It's that if this race gets close, the whole wasted vote thing comes into play.
Sure.
Because if it gets to where it's Hillary Trump 44-42 or it's 40-38, which is the more realistic scenario in polling,
right?
I think that the voter's going to get in there and the voter's going to say, I don't even want to vote for Trump, or I don't want to vote for Hillary. I want to vote for Gary, but I just can't leave the future of this country up to XYZ. And I think that's going to be a real polling effect in the ballot booth.
Man, I think...
I hope it's not the case.
I've been a libertarian for almost 10 years, so it's hard for me to think that any libertarian would see Trump as a viable alternative to Hillary, though. You know, like, I know you can, but I can't. I just don't see... To me, they're the same person.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, I have an interesting perspective on Trump, but like Gary Johnson's done very well, and I could not be more excited about his candidacy.
Sure.
And he's really, I tell you, the guy has seized the torch and run with it in a way I couldn't be more proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling there's two things going on in polling that we're not seeing. I think that's one, is that if it gets close, people are going to have the wasted vote syndrome affect them in the polling booth. And then the other one is that Donald Trump is the first ever candidate I've ever seen have the Hawthorne effect in polling, which is where they didn't want to admit they weren't going to vote for a black candidate.
Hmm.
When they would do polling, they'd say they would, and then
they
would end up not voting for him based on race. And I have, like, I run into this time and time again with Republicans. They don't want to admit it. They would say, oh, I hate that Trump, but then they're going
to
vote for
him. But that's, yeah, he had to win the primary somehow. Yeah.
And so I think he's going to be the first time that we ever see a guy poll at maybe like 32-38, and then somehow, assuming the TPP is the big deal, I think it is, somehow pull it off in the blue collar, the old industrial Midwest states.
I don't know. I mean, he has to make it a big deal, and he has to explain it. I mean, I just don't give a shit about the TPP.
It's forcing her to own, you know, Bill Clinton passed NAFTA.
Sure.
And so it's forcing him, if he can convince the blue collar worker that it, and his messaging is that America first.
Right.
Which is, that's going to be the recurring theme you hear is America first, the American worker first. I'm not going to sell you out to the foreign companies, because the TPP gives a whole, it's like the EU. It creates a separate level of governance for corporations. It's a terrible deal.
Right. All right. Well, what other news are we missing? Anything else?
I think that's about it. I know I'm helping with the Andy Horning campaign, and his Republican opponent, shockingly, received an award for the group of thoracic surgeons, and he was they were also his top donor. he just repeatedly receives rewards from all the organizations that he is the top donor. So if you're in District 8 and you're a if you're a Republican leaning libertarianish person, you should absolutely not vote for Larry Bouchon, because his actual campaign office is up for sale.
More like Larry Dushon.
Yeah,
feel exactly. Free to meme that.
Yeah, but so definitely give Andy Horning a look if you weren't already in District 8, and that's all I got.
All right, well, how do we end this? How should we end this, do you think? I mean, I don't know that we need to make it as formal as the big show.
No.
I don't think we need a catchphrase. I kind of, honestly, I'm over the catchphrase.
Yeah.
I think we've done pretty well.
We'll talk to you next time.
No, that doesn't sound very good. Next time we'll lay down the thunder. So I don't know. I got nothing.
We'll come up with a better one next time.
And as always. So for now, good night, America. Hey, it's Dear Leader again. You know, all these commercials that you love that I'm talking about, you need to complain about them. I can tell. I know you hate it. I know you're just sitting there, listening, going, oh my God, when is this going to end? How many of their... Oh, I can't take it anymore. I just need to tell him how stupid he is. Well, you can do that. You have many, many, many ways to tell me how dumb I am, or how much you hate this show, or how much you hate these commercials, or how much you hate me, or how much you love Greg. Everybody loves Greg more than me. Oh, God. Anyways, go to WeAreLibertarians.com. On the sidebar, we've got all of our social links. You can hate us or love us on YouTube. You can join our Facebook group and talk with other listeners and see our daily dump. No, it's not a number two. It's a news dump. Greg posts a lot of articles, and only half of them are about Donald Trump. So go to wearelibertarians.com, and on the sidebar, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on SoundCloud, we're even on Google+. That's right. We don't ever post there because nobody goes there, but we're on it. So please, wearelibertarians.com, check it out, join in on the conversation, and you too can make fun of Dear Leader via memes. Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.